For the Lord would say, I am not discouraged. I do not look at the land and see everything falling apart. I do not look at those who are howling against me and those who are raising their voices against me. They do not persuade me one way or another, says the Lord. But I look to my people. I look to my church, to my body in the earth. And it is a body that I have ordained for the redemption of the world. For as you preach the gospel of my Son, as you minister the things of my Spirit, truth comes in, light comes into the midst of the darkness, and people are changed. You are the light. You are the seed. You are the salt that I have sown into the earth. And as you go, so goes the world. And as you magnify me as you have this morning and elevate me above all the situations, above all the strife, above all the things that are coming out against me, as you exalt me, declares the Lord, my glory fills the earth. And those who rebel against me are doing it out of conviction, for they have no answer and no hope. So they tie themselves to a movement. And they tie themselves into the facade that looks as though they're doing something when they're doing nothing but cursing the darkness. Oh, for the darkness to leave, declares God, my light must have entrance. And as I speak to the chaos in the world, I speak my light. I say, light be. Revelation be. My children be. The voice of my Son in the earth released, that all would come to see my glory and my power in this day. For what you see now is in the process of passing away. For they will raise their voice, and others will say, oh yes, 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 but it shall soon pass away. And all those who say yes, yes will tomorrow say no, no, because they have no conviction. They do not know what truth is, says God. And apart from me, they will never know what truth is. So pray for them. Pray for the earth that all would come to the knowledge of the Son of God, that they would know the things that you have discovered, and that they would learn to walk in the things that you're still learning how to walk in. For it's a never-ending walk for you to grow and increase in me. But as you grow and increase in me, I grow and I increase in the earth. For I have the answer. I am the answer, declares God. And all those who come to me, I will deliver out of darkness, and I will set their feet on a solid rock, and they shall not be moved. Just as you are not moved by the things that you hear, the things that you see, the things going on in the earth, you are not moved by the shouts, you're not moved by the clamor, but you are moved by the word of God. For I still watch over my word to perform it, declares the Lord. And because my word is in my people, I watch over my people, declares God, that my word would be large within them as a witness to the darkness of this world. So take joy. Take joy that the word is in you, that the light is in you, the glory is in you. Don't despair. Don't get caught up in the grief of the world. But no, I have called you out of that. And I have called you to walk before me, says God. And there is no higher honor than to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For this is the glory of my people. This is the glory of my children, declares God, that I am their father, and they know me by name, says Yahweh. Hallelujah. Welcome to Living Faith Ministries. I'm Pastor Gordon Brubaker, bringing the living word of God into your life. Let's start out with 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Let's say it together. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. I love this scripture. You know how much I do. We've been saying this for several years now. But God always, say always with me, always leads us in triumph. Well, see, that'll get you through any kind of situation going on. No matter what's up or what's down, God will lead you in triumph. Amen? I love that. You know, today there's many voices in the world, and I want to talk about the voices, but I want to say this. Jesus makes the many voices, which are complicated, He makes it easy to understand. God has a way of cutting through all the clamor, cutting through all the junk that's out there, all the information. You know, there's such a thing as an information overload. And they said we didn't realize 9/11 was going to happen with the terrorist attack because we had so much information we couldn't decipher it all. And in today, we can get so much information, we don't know what to do with it. And it's called a paralysis of information because we have so much we can't react to it because we just keep accumulating evidence. And sometimes we just accumulate evidence to accumulate evidence. You know, we don't decipher it. We can't make sense out of it. We just have a big collection. Amen. I have a collection of quotes. I don't know how many pages it is. It's too much to print out. But I've got all these quotes on my computer. And there's so many quotes, I have to remember what the quote is to be able to look it up to get it right. So I'm still relying on what I remember rather than just going through my quotes. Because there's gobs of information in there. Now, let's go to John chapter 8. And we'll begin to decipher what Jesus has to say about the many voices, many competing voices. In John chapter 8, now we want to begin in verse 42. Now, let me back up a little bit. This whole discussion started when Jesus spoke and He preached. And it says in verse 31, he tells the Jews who believed on Him, "If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then they started into this discussion about how can you set us free? We've never been enslaved to any man. And he says, well, you know, but you need to be set free. So we have Abraham as our father. Well, if Abraham were your dad, you would do what Abraham did. And they said, well, how dare you speak to us that way? And then they said in 41, he said, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, God. God is our Father. And then Jesus starts the discernment here. He says in verse 42, if God were your Father, see, He already told him, if Abraham were your father, you would do the works of Abraham, and Abraham loved Me. He looked forward to My day and loved Me about it. So they said, no, God's our Father. They went one step up above Abraham. You know, you're trying to prove their lineage now. God is our Father. So Jesus replies, if God were your Father, you would love Me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of Myself, but He, God, sent Me. Why do you not understand My speech? Because you are not able to listen to My word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you don't believe Me. Which of you convicts Me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe Me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Now, that's pretty hard. You know, they claimed, well, Abraham's our father. And he said, if Abraham were your father, you'd do the works of Abraham, and Abraham looked forward to My day and rejoice in it. Well, God's our father. He said, well, if God were your father, then you would do the works of God. Amen? This is the evidence. This is the fruit that we are to judge. This is one of the key things of discerning the many voices that we hear. Jesus is basically telling them that of all the voices, all the choices, there's only two. Either God is your father or the devil. There's no in between. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's not, you can't reason your way out of it. Either God is your father, and if God is your father, you will do the works of God. And if the devil is your father, you'll do the works of the devil. People get all upset about this. And Jesus is just trying to make it as simple as possible to discern yourself and other people, to discern what is going on in the world, because, well, people just lie. See, the question is, Woody asked years ago, he said, who's your daddy? And the question of your father is a question of identity. Who do you identify with? It's not just about, well, am I a Christian going to heaven? It's not just a question of, well, am I so totally evil I'm going to hell and there's no hope for me. It's not that. It's a question of identity. Which family do you identify with? What side do you fall onto when you look at your life? You've got, these are discerning, hardcore questions. See, I was a Christian when I got saved. An oxymoron. I believed in God. I attended church when I was home, when it was convenient. I did all these things. You know, I was a Bible quiz kid. I knew all this stuff. But when God confronted me, he says, and you call yourself a Christian? And I said, yes. And I started doing what the Pharisees did here. They started going through their pedigree. Well, I've got Abraham. I've got God. And God did kind of the same thing with me. Because the more I tried to read my pedigree before God, the more I was convicted. I'm not a Christian. I believe the right doctrine. I believe in doing the right thing. I thought I was basically a good person, but I wasn't saved. I wasn't born again. Now, I believe I had been sealed, but I hadn't really given over my life to God for him to be in control. And from that point on, I just said, God, I had no understanding. I didn't know the prayer of salvation. I didn't, because we didn't pray that in our church and all this stuff. And I just gave my heart over to God. And I said, God, you're right. I'm not a Christian. Help me. Come in my life. And he came in my life and changed me forever. Hallelujah. And he's still working on me. You can say amen to that. That's okay. But who is your father is a serious question for today. Choices are all around us. And you really cannot trust the news or politicians or even higher education. You can't even fully trust the institutional church. You've got to be careful of what is taught from many pulpits in the United States. And I know some people would say, that's not true. But let me tell you, if you're watching this on video or whatever, if you believe that, then you can't question anything I preach. Amen? You know, if I can't judge you, you can't judge me. If you say, well, pastors wouldn't preach anything that's ungodly, well, then what I'm preaching to you is godly. We just settled the debate. Amen? And people say, well, that's not what I mean. It's like, well, then take your own medicine. Hallelujah. So, where does truth come from? Where does your truth come from? And is there such a thing as universal truth? Because that's a big question today. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. And they can all be true at the same time. And I want to tell you, no, they can't. My truth can be, if I walk over off of a cliff, I will not fall. I could believe it. And when I step over that cliff, I will fall like a rock. And when I hit bottom, I will die. I tell you, truth becomes, well, you can't select your truth on the way down. Well, God, that was a wrong truth. Well, now you got to live with your truth because you believe wrong. And it's going to kill you. Okay, so this is a real serious question. You know, Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? And if you go to John chapter 18, verse 37, it says, Pilate therefore said to Jesus, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Very powerful questions. Very powerful statements that Jesus is making. So the real question here is not what is truth, but who is true? See, truth is not a dogma. Truth is not a list of things that you accept. Truth is the person of Almighty God. Because he is the truth. The Bible says about God, he's not a man that he should lie. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no one comes to the Father except by me. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, then you don't believe the truth. Because truth is a person, the person of God. Jesus said, who was a representative of the Father, who came to earth that we could see who the Father is. Jesus said, you can't get to the Father except through me. And then he said, and that's the truth. And we want to debate it. Well, see, you don't have a right to choose. Jesus said it, and it's the truth. Whether I believe it or not doesn't change what is true. If I reject it, I'll be lost. If I accept it, I'll know God. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Jesus is not trying to keep us out. He's trying to show you the way in. Now, truth is not an idea or an emotion. Truth is a person. God is truth. The Bible again says, in him there is no shadow of turning. This is how you determine who is the one true God. Because so many of the gods that are lifted up today, they'll change next week. You know, the news media will change next week. They'll take the opposite side next week. You can't trust them. They're just flip-floppers all the time. So this is a thing of discernment, and it helps you to discern who is the one true God. Now, Jesus takes the many voices and reduces them to two voices, the true God or the devil. Now, what confuses many people is the devil often speaks in half-truths. Have you ever noticed that? That's why we get confused, because it sounds like truth, but it's not truth. But it has enough truth in it to trick us. It's like, well, doesn't Jesus love everybody? Yes, he does. Well, then why would he send anybody to hell? He doesn't. Jesus has never sent one person to hell. But the Bible says it's up to you. The Bible says it's your choice. You can believe in God and have everlasting life, or you can reject him and be lost. That's what the Bible says. Jesus didn't make that. He just said this is because we're all lost. See, we all are away from God. But it's easy, even when you hear half-truths, it's still easy to discern what the truth is. Let's go back to John chapter 8. I don't have a lot of time this morning, so we'll try to get through this. But John chapter 8, 42 and 43, Jesus said to them, If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you then not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. Here's the first test. What do you do with Jesus? That's the first test. What do you do with Jesus? How you treat him shows your response to God. Again, Jesus said, if God were your Father, you would love me. Well, doesn't that settle it? If God is your Father, you would love his Son. Because Jesus said, I did not come on my own, the Father sent me. So if I'm going to believe in God, trust in God, I've got to believe and trust in Jesus. Isn't that simple? Isn't that easy to understand? See, is Jesus your dominant voice? Or is he just one of many? When you hear Jesus say something to you, is it up for debate? You know, does he give you multiple choices of what to do, which voice to listen to? Well, I'm going to listen to Jesus 80% today, but the other 20% I'm going to listen to another voice. You make the choice. There is no multiple choice. There is no option to this. It says, if the true God is your Father, you would love Jesus. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the only one who has been sent to redeem you from the power of sin and death. Why would you not love the one that God sent to set you free? Why? Why would you reject the one that God sent to save you? See, this is why Jesus said, if you love the Father, you'll love me. Because I've come to set you free. And it's scary how some people don't want freedom. They just would prefer to die in their sin. Die rejecting God. But Jesus said, if God were your Father, you'd love me. So the first test is, what would you do with Jesus? Now, let's go down to the second test. I'll do this before the verse, Stephen. But test two is, what do you do with the devil? Now, John 8:44 says, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. But he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. See, Satan just lies. He can't tell you the truth. He just makes things up. So the next test that Jesus is giving to the Pharisees, to the religious leaders of his day, what do you do with the devil? Do you entertain him? Do you say, well, devil, we want to have equal competing voices here. I hate the news programs. We've got to have equal voices here to debate this subject. Well, if one's stupid, why do you want to have him on? I mean, let's be frank about it. You know, I believe God created the universe. I believe everything in it that God created. I personally believe the Bible, that he did it in 6 days. Then you have somebody on, well, I believe it was a big bang. Or I can tell you, one of the leading atheists, I think he's still alive, one of the leading atheists said the answer to life is crystals. I've got it on videotape. Life came from crystals. And he was asked, well, how did life come? How did life come to be out of nothing, out of inanimate materials? How did life be? Well, crystals. Well, it's stupid. I mean, he thinks he's intelligent. Life came from crystals. I know you can get fire from rubbing two sticks together, but I don't think you can create life by rubbing two crystals together. It just doesn't work that way. Nobody's done it yet. See, it's an unscientific theory, because they don't believe in a creator, and so it just had to happen spontaneously. Right. The reason, Jesus says, the reason you do not love Jesus is because your father is the devil. And people will say, but that's harsh, that's judgmental. Well, it's the truth. If you love the devil, you're going to hate Jesus. If you love sin, you're going to hate righteousness. If you are lying, living in deception, the last thing you want to hear is the truth, because the truth breaks through your deception. That's why some people, when you give them the facts, they just yell and call you a name. Because they can't deal with the truth. Because the truth opposes everything that they say they believe. They say they're scientific. Well, I can give you science, they'll reject. Did you know that the earth, that the universe is cooling? That we are losing energy? That the universe is growing cold? And the universe is going to die when all the heat is gone? And we're worried about global warming? Well, buddy, keep us as hot as you can, because we're losing heat. We're all going to die from cold. That's what science tells us. See, that's the power of sin. If you're not hot for God, you're going to get colder and colder and colder, and you will die from a loss of heat. Because life cannot exist without heat. It's necessary for it. So what do you do with the devil? Well, the devil's a destroyer. He's not a builder. He's a liar. He steals, kills, and destroys lives. Now, listen to this. This is so cool. God brings order to chaos. God, the Bible says, God is not the author of confusion. He does not produce chaos. So here's a thing of discernment. What do you do with the devil? If it produces chaos, it's probably not God. If it produces order, it probably is God, because God brings order to chaos. You get that out of Genesis 1, 2. But God brings order to chaos. So if you love the devil, you love chaos. And you hate the one who brings order to it. Hello? So the question is, what do you do with the devil? Well, I just like chaos. Listen to the modern people saying around, we've got to destroy everything so something good can happen. Well, what good are you going to have? Well, we don't know. Whatever we get is better than what it is now. How many of you would like to have a new, larger home? You don't have to raise your hand. You say, I want a nicer home. I want an open space. You know, that's a big, right now. We want an open space environment. Good. I'll come to your house and we'll torch it. Because once it is burned down, then a new house will just spontaneously arise. And it'll be better than anything you have right now. Isn't this good? And we all know that's stupid. But see, the devil is the author of chaos. He doesn't know how to build. He only knows how to destroy. So what do you do with him? Let me give you a few verses. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Ephesians 6, 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, adversary, not your friend, not your helper, your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Wow. Now, there's two things in there. He says, submit to God and resist the devil. It's not just resisting the devil, it's submitting to God. You've got to submit to God. In other words, you've got to submit to truth. You've got to submit to righteousness. You've got to submit to the good things in life, because if you don't, then you're cooperating with the devil and he doesn't have to flee. Hello? My dad always told me, if you play with matches, you're going to get burned. I loved to play with matches when I was a kid. I was in training to be a pyrotechnic. I mean, they would have hired me for all the movies they do today, because I just love to set things on fire. But just small things, not big stuff. But, you know, I found out he was right. If I kept playing with matches, I'd get burned. Because I got burned several times. If you play with the devil, you're going to get burned. Submit to God, resist the devil. Is that easy to understand? Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. He's not trying to condemn you. He's trying to say, okay, now right now, see, we're really big into hand sanitization, aren't we? But when Dr. Fauci says, wash your hands, we don't say, what do you mean? My hands aren't dirty. But when we read this in God, in the Bible, cleanse your hands, you sinners. God can't call me a sinner. Are your hands clean? I don't know. I haven't looked. Well, cleanse them just for safety's sake. Hello? I don't know where your hands have been. I don't want to know where your hands have been. Just go ahead and wash them. Hello? I mean, isn't that what everybody's saying today? Wash your hands. But when we read, listen, this is how the devil has corrupted us of our self-righteousness. How dare you tell me I need to cleanse my hands? That's like saying I've done something wrong. Well, I can pretty well assume that you have. Because one, you're not dead yet. Two, you're human. And you live in a filthy world. Yeah. And you don't know who touched that dollar bill before they passed it on to you. You don't know what's on it. You don't know who touched the post that you're leaning on. You don't know anything. So just stay calm, cleanse your hands, okay? Purify your hearts, you double-minded. In other words, keep your heart on God. Submit to God. Draw near to God. Now let's go to John chapter 8, verse 45 to 47. The final part of this, and Jesus says, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Isn't that interesting? Because I tell the truth. Now, if Jesus would join in their lie, oh, he's a good man. If Jesus would pat him on the back, Pilate, you're doing a great job. Pilate, you're stuck in a tough situation, Pilate. And I understand your problem, and you know, you've got to appease the crowd. I understand that. So, Pilate, you go ahead, and God bless you. Whoa, wait a minute. Jesus tells him, I'm the Son of God. Jesus, he asks him, are you king? Are you Lord? He goes, yeah, my kingdom's not of this world, but I'm a king. You know, and I came to bring the truth of God. So Pilate says, well, what is truth? standing right in front of him. Pilate didn't want to hear it. Pilate signed the orders that allowed the Sanhedrin to kill him. But he had enough sense, he washed his hands. Says, no, my wife, wash his hands. I'm clean. I'm clear of this. You go ahead and do what you want to do. But he still was a participant in it, regardless of how often he washed his hands. So, because I tell the truth, you don't believe me. There's a lot of people, if you tell them the truth, it'll wreck their whole life. You tell somebody, they're all upset and they're hurting and they're yelling and screaming, and you look and say, you need God. Well, who do you think you are? You're self-righteous hypocrite. And they say, all you said was the truth. You know, Debbie's nice and she doesn't say this to me, but I can hear it under her breath sometimes. When I get upset and I start ranting and raving a little bit, I can feel when she gently tries to correct me, I can hear underneath it, you need God. She doesn't have to say it. I can hear it. And I want to resist because I'm not ready to change. So I huff and puff a little bit and then kind of get quiet a little bit. And I can feel Debbie get out the handkerchief and wipe her brow off. Whew, got through that. Got through another one. Now it's not quite that bad, but you understand what I'm saying. This can get to be serious stuff. Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? Now see, today, if you tell someone the truth, they'll cuss you out. They'll call you all kinds of names. They say, but who of you convicts me of sin? Well, I'm just calling you a name and that makes you guilty. No, who convicts me of sin? Where's the evidence that I am who you say that I am? Where's the evidence? Well, they don't have any. Because the accusation is all they need. The devil's a deceiver. He's a liar. He doesn't go by evidence. He doesn't have to prove anything. And this is how the devil works. Well, whisper, 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 whisper. And they say this and they say that. There's no evidence. There's no proof. I know a pastor. I'll tell you his name. Dick Green, pastor of God's Ark of Safety. Used to be the pastor there. He was in a shopping market one day and struck up a conversation because he was an evangelist. He struck up a conversation with a guy. And the guy said, I don't want anything to do with church. Church is full of liars. Really? What makes you say that? Well, you know that Pastor Dick Green up at God's Ark of Safety? He ran off with his secretary and took all the money from the church. And Dick says, I hadn't heard that. Yeah, everybody knows it. He goes, really? Tell me more. Yeah, he took off. He left his wife, took off with his secretary, took all the money from the church, and they're out living somewhere now. And Dick says, that's amazing. Let me introduce myself to you. I'm Pastor Dick Green. And the guy just kind of stammered around. He had believed something with no evidence, nothing to qualify it. He just believed it. Now, why did he believe a lie? Because he wanted to believe the lie. Truth gets in the way when you want to believe a lie. And that's what we see going on right now. Truth doesn't matter because it's all relative. But yet, if you disagree with their version of truth, they don't like it. Well, if all truth is equal and all truth is out there, why get mad at my truth? Why does it bother you that my truth isn't your truth? See, they're disqualifying themselves because they're saying, I believe in absolute truth. I believe that in universal truth. And yet they reject God. They'd rather make up their own truth. And their own truth is just that. It's made up. They can't prove it. They can't back it up. So he says, Jesus says, which of you convicts me of sin? And finally he says, if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Okay, there's a reason why people don't believe what's true. The final verse 47 says, he who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, oh, this is powerful. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Now remember, when all this conversation started, they said, God is our Father. And Jesus is ending up the conversation, why do you not believe the truth that I tell you? The reason you don't hear is because you are not of God. This is the third test. What do you do with the truth? What do you do with inconvenient truth when it doesn't fit your parameters? I've had some of my friends on Facebook, they'll text something, and it's a quote that they got from somebody else, and I fact check it. Even though I agree with it, even though it's nothing that I would disagree with, it's not true. And I try to save them from embarrassment and post back to them. I try to message it rather than putting it on Facebook. But message it, said, check your facts. This is not accurate. The person that you're saying that said this didn't say it. It's not true. You know, I used to get letters. I'd say I'd get three letters a year. And who was the Madeline Murray O'Hare? Remember her? This is going back a long time. I'd get three letters a year that she was petitioning the FCC to take all Christian programming off the airwaves. I got letters for about 5 years after she died. And I'd get them from good Christians. So I got so tired of this early on, I wrote to the FCC and I said, I heard this. They sent me back a nice letter and I still have it in my file. And the letter said this, by law, we cannot do that, even if we wanted to. We cannot restrict airways and say Christians can't be on it. Said the thing is false from the get-go. Number two, they said, we've never, ever had any petition from Madeline Murray O'Hare. But every year. And it'd be, we need to get signatures. I'd have pastors show up at my door. We need to get signatures. We need to get all the Christians to sign this so we can send it to the FCC. You know why the devil does that? To make you look stupid. To disqualify you in the eyes of others, because Christians will believe anything. See, that's why we need to put a premium on the truth. We need to be the fact checkers. We need to know what we're talking about so we're not out there like the other and not knowing why we believe it. We can get upset, and you can waste a lot of energy being upset over things that aren't even true. So you've got to find out what is true. What do you do with the truth? Now get this. This is my closing statement. Say this first. Jesus preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was his message. Not kumbaya, not how can we all get along. Let's bring all the people together and we'll discuss and we'll reach a compromise. He simply said, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God is at the door. God's knocking at your heart. What are you going to do? Repent is to open the door. Repent is to let Jesus in. Repent is to accept the truth of God rather than your convenient truth. Okay? In the church, we have altered the concept of repentance. To repent means literally to change your mind, to think differently. The problem is, and this is a problem with the church, we get people to confess their sin, but we don't change the way they think. And we do that with ourselves. We repent of our sin, but we don't repent of the way you think. Therefore, you have to keep repenting of the sin over and over and over when you never bothered to change your mind. Jesus said some powerful things in John 8. He said that I'm sent from the Father, that I've come to bring truth, to bear witness to the truth. He said we need to believe the truth and let that truth permeate us and let it be on the inside of us. I don't want to be 80% God and 20% devil. I don't want to be double-minded. He said, well, that's not much. It's still double-minded. I want to be 100% on for God. I want to be 100% with him. That's why I've preached things in the past that I really believed. And when I started reading the Bible, they were wrong. Because I was preaching out of what I'd been taught by my denomination. I'd been taught, preached about things that other good Christians had said. but I never checked it out for myself. And so I was running on a lot of emotion, but I wasn't preaching the truth. And I've had to, in church, I've had to come back and say, you know, I preached this one time and it was wrong. I'm sorry, I repent of it. Why? Because I believe that repentance is good for the soul. It says confess your sins one to another. And there's times you don't need to do it publicly, but there's times you need to realize that you have wrong thinking and repent. That's not just saying, well, God, forgive me of wrong thinking. That means to change your mind and find out what's true so you can build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If you haven't given your heart to Jesus, you need to do that. If you're wavering, if you're double-minded, if your hands are dirty, you need to repent. You do that by asking Jesus into your heart. You do it by declaring Jesus is Lord of your life. You do it by yielding everything over to God. And it's a process, but it's a daily process. And it's one that will keep you right with God. Well, Heavenly Father, we just trust you today. Father, we give our heart to you, we give our allegiance to you, we give our life to you. Father, we want to build on the truth of Jesus Christ. We want to build on the truth of Almighty God. We want to know what that truth is and understand it. We do not want to be part God and part devil. We do not want to be double-minded in what we believe. So God, help us to understand the truth. Help us to see the truth and know it, Father, that we would walk worthy of you, Father. Lord, we give our lives to you. We ask your blessings upon us, God, to lead us and to guide us in every area of our life. And we praise you for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.